So if you have your Bible today, we want to ask the Lord to minister to us. Did you come to be ministered unto today? So we ask the Lord to minister to us from the book of Luke, the 17th chapter. And we're going to read today, beginning with verse number 1. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Yes. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. It's amazing how easy it is to change the subject.
He did, yes.
And the Lord said, If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea. And it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, Go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants, and have done that which was our duty to do. God bless you, and you may be seated today. I would like to encourage us today to exercise faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We must have faith. And so, in order to have faith, that we have to have a right attitude. And so I want to focus our attention today on this topic, an attitude of faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. and that he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again, the Bible describes faith this way, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. We need to have a proper attitude. Amen. If we are going to believe the promises of God. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Without hope, without anticipating the things that God has promised us, amen, how can we possibly have faith? But we believe for the things that have not yet been. We believe in things that are not yet in evidence. Because if it is in evidence, then what's the purpose of faith? And so, a proper attitude is a hopeful attitude. An attitude of anticipation. An attitude of expectancy. If you don't expect anything, you'll probably not be disappointed. Amen. And so we need to believe in the things of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Fundamentally, we must believe that he is. That God is a reality. God is not a figment of our imagination. God is not some kind of ethereal being that man contrived in his mind. But God is the creator of everything. He spake and it appeared. Amen. God can take nothing and make something wonderful out of it. And so I don't need any evidence. I don't need any substance to have faith. I have faith because I believe that he is. I believe in God, and therefore I have hope. I believe in God, and therefore I have expectations, amen, that are beyond this carnal world. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear is not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And so I expect God to do miracles. I expect God to hear my prayer. I expect God to perform mighty works because I believe that he is. And my God is an awesome God. My God is terrible in power. My God is able to do anything that God desires to do. Therefore, I have an attitude. Amen. Amen. Anybody can have an attitude, and all of us do. Amen. But just having an attitude does not qualify us. Amen. In the area, in the arena of faith. Amen. It's necessary to have a proper attitude. Amen. It's necessary, amen, to have a right mindset. You must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder. Amen. I'm glad that my God will reward my faith. That his word will not return unto him void. Amen. He is a rewarder of them that are diligent. Amen. If you're not diligent about the things of God, amen, you ought not to expect anything. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and he should not expect to receive anything from God. Amen. A man who is a man of faith is not double-minded. Amen. He doesn't halt, amen, between two opinions. He doesn't waver in his resolution to serve God and to follow after God, but he is determined. Amen. He has fixed his face like a flint. Amen. He is going to stand upon the promises of God because he knows that his God is a rewarder of those that are diligent. If we diligently seek the Lord, amen, we will receive reward. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. And so a proper attitude, amen, is not to give up. A proper attitude is not to grow weary. A proper attitude is not throw up your hands in despair. A proper attitude is an attitude that is diligent. A proper attitude, amen, is an attitude that believes in the promises of God. Oh, hallowed be not weary in well-doing. Whatever you're doing, if you're doing it in the will of God, just keep doing it. If you're asking in the will of God, just keep asking. If you're knocking upon the door of heaven, just keep knocking, because those that ask, amen, receive. And those that seek, find. And those that knock, to them it shall be opened. An attitude of expectancy. Amen. When you pray, amen, expect God to hear your prayer. Yes, sir. If you just go through the motions of prayer, amen, if you just speak beautiful words, amen, so that you can appease men or make an impression upon men, you've already received your reward. Yes, sir. Amen. Jesus said that the Pharisees loved to stand on the street corners and to make great prayers unto God with beautiful words so that they could be heard of men. Amen. Jesus said they've already received their reward. But he said when you pray, go into your closet and pray. Pray like the publican that said, I'm not worthy, oh God. I'm not worthy to receive anything. But oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's an attitude of faith. That's an attitude, amen, that we'll be rewarded by the presence of God. Amen. The focus in this chapter, in verse 5, the apostle said, the Lord increase our faith. Amen. Every man receives a measure of faith. But God wants you to have mustard seed faith. It's not enough just to have faith. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Amen. Not one time did Jesus ever commend one of his disciples for having great faith. Not one of the disciples was ever commended for having great faith. Only twice in the entire New Testament did Jesus ever commend anybody for having great faith. And both of them were Gentiles. One was a Roman centurion and the other was a Syrophoenician woman. Those are the only two individuals in the New Testament, amen, that Jesus ever commended for their faith. And so it is apparent that we need, amen, to seek God and ask for faith. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, give me the capacity to believe you, God, for greater things. Give me the capacity, oh God, to receive the gifts that you have determined to bestow upon me. Oh God, give me a greater capacity to believe. One man said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. That it's not that we don't believe anything. It's not that we don't have some faith, but it's just that we've got so much doubt and we have got so many questions that we focus more on the questions than we do on the answer. I want you to know the questions don't really matter as long as you have the answer. We have a song that says Jesus is the answer. I don't know all of the questions. I don't know all of the ins and the outs. But I do know the answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can answer your prayer. He's the only one that can satisfy the need in your life. He's the only one that can bring hope and deliverance. Amen. Because He is everything He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And I believe in God. Amen. They said, Lord, increase our faith. When I first read that, I thought, well, now what does faith have to do with the context of this passage? It has everything to do with it. Amen. When you look at a scripture, you cannot just take that scripture and isolate it, but you've got to look at that is before it and that's afterward. They said to the Lord, increase our faith. But what prompted that request? What caused them to ask God to have faith? It was because that the Lord taught them, amen, that there were going to be times in their walk with God that they were going to find offense, that they were going to find opposition. He said, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. Don't think that you're going to go through life without being challenged with stumbling blocks, with opposition, with things that offend and that cause discouragement, because God is going to allow you to face difficulty in order to challenge your faith. Amen. The parallel passage for Luke chapter 17 is found in the book of Mark. Mark 9, 33 to 37 tells us that right before that this discourse began, that the disciples were discussing among themselves who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Amen. In fact, if you don't mind and will indulge me just for a moment, I'd like for you to turn to the 9th chapter of the book of Mark and the 33rd verse. The Bible says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. They did not want to answer the Lord because they had been disputing among themselves as to who should receive the greatest honor, who should be used of God in the greatest manner. And so they were ashamed. And so he sat down and he called the 12 and said, and sometimes God just has to sit us down and get our attention. Amen. Sometimes we can't think on our feet. Sometimes we stand up when we ought to be sitting down. And we speak up when we ought to shut up. Amen. Jesus, amen, decided to have a little conference with them. And so he sat down. And this is what he said. If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last. Amen. God is not looking for self-appointed leaders. God is looking for leaders that have, amen, an attitude that he can promote. And he doesn't promote dissension. He doesn't promote division. He doesn't promote, amen, judging your brother or your sister. Come, you say praise the Lord. Amen. If you want to be a man or a woman of faith and you want to be used of God, you've got to have a right attitude. You've got to have a right disposition. He said, if you desire to be first, then you've got to be willing to be last. Amen. And to be servant of a God is looking for the spirit of a servant. If you want to have greater faith, you cannot have a spirit of elitism. Amen. One of the things that Jesus had to destroy was the spirit of elitism, of the spirit of spiritual exclusion. In verse 38, John answered him and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name. He had just taught them about if they wanted to have faith, if they wanted to be used of God, if they wanted to have first position, then they needed to be a servant in spirit and in attitude. And John says, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name. And he don't follow us. We forbade him. Because he didn't follow us. And then that spirit of elitism and exclusion, it was an attitude of how could you use them, God, when I'm available? How could you use that person or that group of persons when you've got us? That's a spirit of exclusion and elitism that God hates. How can you use somebody that we do not even know, God? I want you to know that God is looking for people who have a right attitude. And a spirit of elitism is not the kind of attitude that God can use, that God will bless, that God will put His stamp of approval upon. Amen. In fact, Jesus rebuked them because of the spirit of elitism. They're not in our circle. They don't belong to our particular sect. God forbid of us Pentecostals if we begin to get an attitude because God, amen, begins to work in other groups, in other churches, in other circles besides ours. I want you to know God is bigger than you are. God is bigger than I am. God is bigger than the United Pentecostal Church. Amen. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or even think. If God wants to do great things, if God wants to pour out His Spirit and break out, amen, among other people, amen, who am I to withstand God? Can you say praise the Lord? That spiritual elitism, amen, God did not find healthy. He did not find wholesome. He did not look upon it, amen, with approval. But Jesus said in verse 39, forbid him not. Amen. Don't you try to shut it down. Don't you try to talk it down. Don't you have an attitude about it. Because if he's not against us, he's for us. Hallelujah. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. Oh, hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? And so the Lord, amen, said that you need to be more tolerant. If you want to have an attitude of faith that God can bless, you've got to have an attitude of tolerance. Just because people don't look like you, they don't talk like you, they don't gin where you gin, and it doesn't mean that God, amen, it cannot use them, that God cannot lead them, that God cannot perform miracles through them, because God is sovereign. God is on the throne. God is the head of the church. Amen. And so we need to be careful about a judgmental spirit. Amen. Judge not lest you be judged. Amen. There's something else that Jesus talked about. And that was about putting a stumbling block in our sisters. He told us that offenses are going to come. There are going to be situations. And when the devil is going to try to create division, there are going to be situations, amen, that we're going to allow our flesh to get in the way. Amen. It's just going to happen, folks. Amen. I want you to say to yourself, I am still flesh. Sometimes I'm a pain in the neck. If you don't believe it, ask your wife or your husband. Amen. It's impossible, but offenses are going to come. There are going to be situations, amen, that are really not, amen, ordained of God or pleasing to God, that are going to happen because we are flesh. Amen. Even the apostles, amen, had times that they could not agree. They were men of God. Amen. Just because, amen, that you sometimes get in your flesh doesn't mean you're not a man of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Just because, amen, God gave you the Holy Ghost doesn't mean sometimes and He doesn't ask you to repent or make apologies for things that you've said or done. How many have ever apologized since you got the Holy Ghost? Amen. Amen. He said offenses are going to come. Amen. But He said, woe unto that individual through whom they come. It would be better for that man or that woman to have a millstone around his neck and to be cast into the sea than to cause one of my little ones to stumble. We're not called to be stumbling blocks. We're called to be a stepping stone. We're called to encourage. We're called, amen, to exhort one another. We're called to work together in harmony for the kingdom of God. We're not to be in opposition to one another, but we're to pray for one another and let the strong support the weak. Amen. The strong are not supposed to crush the weak. They're supposed to help the weak. Amen. We're called to be helpers. Amen. We're called, amen, to walk in peace. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. If you're not, amen, trying to promote peace and harmony in the body of Christ, then you're sowing discord and dissension. Amen. And God will judge those. Amen. He said it'd be better for you that a millstone were put around your neck and you were cast into the sea than to cause one of my children, one of my little ones, to fall and stumble. Oh, God forbid. Amen. That's the kind of attitude that God wants. God wants us to have an attitude of love. God wants us to have an attitude of tolerance. Amen. We're not to be lifted up in our flesh, but we are to humble ourselves before God. He said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. This is a parallel passage. Amen. In Mark, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Because God wants us, church, amen, that will remove offenses. Amen. You can't have fighting and bickering and disputing in the body of Christ if you want to be in the midst of a church where there is faith and there is power and there's miracles. Amen. And there's deliverance. We've got to love one another as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. Can you praise the Lord? Amen. We've got to, amen, to endure the fire. There's going to be some time that you're going to have to just endure some things. Amen. You can't retaliate. You can't, amen, fight against things. Amen. An eye for an eye, a tooth and for a tooth. It has no place in interpersonal relationship. Amen. It's not doing to others as they do unto you. Come on now. And it's not doing to others before they do unto you. But it's doing to others as you would have them do unto you. Amen. Sometimes you've got to have a little refining in your life. Every one of us needs some refining. Amen. Every one of us, amen, needs some improving in some areas. And so sometimes you're going to be tested. Amen. God's going to prove what is in you. Amen. What kind of an attitude you've got. You're going to have some fire, and you're also going to be sprinkled with salt. Amen. The Bible says we're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? Amen. We've got to have the right, amen, components in our life. We're going to have the constitution of salt. And salt preserves peace. Amen. Salt preserves harmony. Amen. Salt, amen, fights against corruption. Things that would attack the body of Christ. Thank God that we can be salt and light in the world that we live. And then another attitude of faith, amen, is forgiveness. Amen. The Bible says if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Amen. Don't necessarily ignore sin. Doesn't say ignore it. If they sin, rebuke him. And if he repents, amen, then you have won a brother. You have restored one. And cause one to return from the error of his ways. But if he sins against you seven times in a day, the Bible said you're to forgive him seven times. Amen. In other words, that we are to have, amen, unlimited forgiveness. Amen. Jesus said, I say not unto you seven times, but unto seven times 70. We've got to have an attitude of forgiveness and restoration if we're going to have an attitude of faith. And then immediately after that, that Jesus talked about forgiving their brother, they said, Lord, increase our faith. Amen. If we're going to have the capacity to forgive our brother, amen, we're going to need more faith. If we're going to endure offenses, we're going to have more faith. Amen. Amen. No matter what you face, no matter what stumbling block, amen, you face, you're going to have faith. Amen. Faith will see you through. Faith will enable you to say, I love you. Faith will allow you to say, I forgive. Amen. Faith will allow you to have an attitude of mercy and grace. Lord, increase our faith. Amen. In the same context, Jesus talked about having faith as a grain of mustard seed. The mustard seed's very small. Until we can see ourselves as God sees us, He cannot use us to the extent that He wants to use us. We have to become small in order for God to become great. John the Baptist said, I must decrease. And when we decrease, what happens to God? He increases. How many of you want greater faith? Hallelujah. You want your faith to increase? Then look at yourself like God sees you. Insignificant. Not a spirit of elitism, not a spirit of entitlement, not a spirit of, if God can't do it through me, it just can't get done. Not that attitude. But we got to get small, like a mustard seed. An attitude of faith. God, help me to be a servant. Help me to be forgiving. Help me to be a preserver of peace. Help me to endure persecution. Not all persecution is from without. Of course, I know most of you already know that. In fact, much of the persecution we endure is from within. Amen. We face conflict in the home. We face conflict in the church. We face conflict on the job. We face conflict in the world. We face conflict in the natural realm as well as the spiritual realm. Because everywhere there's conflict. But if you're going to overcome with mustard seed faith, you're going to have to become small. It's not big I and little you. It's, Lord, I can do all things through you. It's not about us. It's about him. It's not how big I am. It's how big my God is. David wasn't lifted up in himself. He wasn't putting his trust in his flesh. He said, the Lord delivered a lion and a bear into my hand. I don't come against you with sword and spear, but in the name of the Lord God of hosts. We got to recognize where the source of our power is. It's not in us. It's in our God. If we're going to have faith that can, amen, say unto the sycamore tree, be plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea. Amen. Then we're going to have a faith that recognizes that it's not of us. It's all in him. In Matthew 17, 20, Jesus talked about mustard seed faith again. And in that context, he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. So whether it's a tree or a mountain or any other obstacle, if you, amen, can see through the eyes of faith, if you can see how big your God is, if you can see how powerful your God is, then anything is possible. Amen to them that believe. Amen. And then finally, amen, we've got to have the spirit of a servant. Amen. The servant is not the one that sits down and is waited on, but it's the master. Amen. That sits down first at the table. If you want a move of God, if you want to have an attitude that will engender faith, amen, you got to put the master ahead of your own personal, amen, desires. You got to put God ahead of self. Amen. And minister to God in worship. Amen. And then God will take care of you. Hallelujah. We need to take care of first things first. Amen. You don't even praise a servant that's done what he was asked to do. God asked us, amen, to have faith. God asked us to pray. Amen. God didn't ask us to perform anything. But these signs shall follow them that believe. It's not anything that we should boast of, because it's not of us, it's of him. Amen. When the servant does everything that he's asked to do, you don't reward him. You don't say, man, you're just a great servant. Jesus said, no, I trust that you don't do that. You don't give him some kind of award for doing the things that he's expected to do. The Bible tells us that there's some things that are our reasonable service. Hallelujah. There's some things that God expects of us, and you're not going to receive some crown of achievement. You're not going to receive some great exalted, amen, thing in order to lift up your flesh. Amen. In fact, in closing today, I want you to turn with me to one more scripture. Romans 12 and verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There are some things that are just reasonable service. God's looking for somebody, amen, that will be a sacrifice. Somebody that will pour themselves out. Somebody that will put their life, amen, in the work of God. Amen, without restrictions. Without, amen, without any exclusions. And they'll just be holy. They'll just be righteous. They'll just be obedient servants. Amen, because that's our reasonable service. Oh, I want to be a man or woman of faith today. God, give me an attitude of faith. Faith to do great things. Faith to remove mountains. Faith to believe you, oh God, for that is beyond my own strength. Lord, give me an attitude of faith. Would you stand today? Hallelujah. Oh God, we pray today, Lord. God, we pray, Lord, as a church body. Pray, God, as men and women who have been called out of darkness to walk in the light. God, that we have an attitude that is pleasing to you. That we have an attitude, oh God, that promotes peace and harmony. An attitude of a servant. An attitude of obedience. An attitude of forgiveness. That we can have an attitude of faith. Increase my faith, God. Help me, God, to get along with my brother and my sister. Help me, God, not to murmur and complain. Help me, God, not to be a fault finder. Help me, God, not to judge others, amen, when I'm guilty of the very same things. But God, let me have an attitude, Lord, that will engender faith. Let me have mustard seed faith. Let me become small so that you can become great. Let me decrease, oh God, that you can increase. Lord, give me faith. I wonder if there's someone here today that wants to have greater faith. That you want to be greater in the eyes of the Lord. You want to be used of God. Then follow the example of Jesus. Walk in the path of servanthood. Walk in humility. Walk in love. Walk in mercy. Walk in forgiveness. And God will use you and God will bless you. It's not about us. It's all about Him. Praise God. God bless you today as we invite those to come and pray. These altars should be full today with people that desire to please the Lord. God bless you today. Amen. God bless you as our pastor comes.